You know, it used to be that if you wanted to build something, something real in the digital world, you had to learn this entirely new, incredibly unforgiving
Oh,
language.
the
Like, it was honestly like trying to translate your thoughts into ancient Greek, but if you missed a single comma or, you know, misplaced a semicolon somewhere, the entire universe just crashed.
Yeah, the dreaded syntax error,
Yeah,
just
man.
hours staring at a screen.
Exactly. But today, that gatekeeper is effectively getting a pink slip. So, okay, let's unpack this. Today, we are decoding a 2026 curriculum and FAQ guide. And this is from Vibe Coding Masters, which is an institute based in Hyderabad, India. They operate under Brawley Academy.
Right.
And our mission in this deep dive is to unpack this, this rapidly growing tech trend called vibe coding. We really want to figure out what it actually means for your career right
As
now.
it affects everyone.
It does, whether you're, you know, looking to upskill or maybe pivot entirely, or you're just trying to survive in a modern workforce that seems to be like changing every 5 minutes.
Yeah, and the ripple effects of what this curriculum outlines, I mean, they're universal at this
For
point.
sure.
What stands out immediately isn't just the term vibe coding, which, you know, it certainly captures the zeitgeist of 2026 perfectly, but it's the audacious premise it operates on.
Right, the timeline.
Exactly. This document suggests that someone can transform into a tech founder or a remote freelancer or like an AI application builder in just 3 to 6 months.
Which sounds
It
crazy.
does, completely disregarding whatever technical background they might or might not have. It essentially claims that the learning curve of software development has just been flattened.
I really want to break down how that is even physically possible because, I mean, let's be honest, the concept sounds like science fiction until you actually look under the hood.
Right.
So the source defines vibe coding as a modern programming approach, and it's focused on building real-world applications using, practical coding, workflow automation, and AI
Yeah,
tools.
it's very application heavy.
And they specifically mention building across things like the MERN stack. Now, just for anyone listening who isn't living their life in back-end development, MERN is just an acronym. It's a bundle of technologies used to build web apps.
Right, the alphabet soup.
Yeah. So you've got MongoDB for the database, Express and Node for the server side of things, and then React for the user interface. And in the past, you had to hand code every single layer of that stack yourself.
Which took years to master. I mean,
Yeah.
literally years. You
Right.
spent like 90% of your time wrestling with the grammar of the machine, configuring servers, tracking down a missing bracket in your React code.
Always the missing bracket.
Always. And maybe, if you were lucky, 10% of your time actually solving the business problem you set out to fix in the first place.
Wow, yeah.
But the mechanism of vibe coding flips that ratio entirely. What's fascinating here is how the focus has shifted from memorizing syntax to system design.
Okay, let's use a metaphor here because the old analogy of, you know, coding is like building a house brick by brick. It doesn't really capture this shift anymore.
No, it's too manual.
Right. So think of traditional coding, like building a house brick by brick by yourself. Vibe coding, on the other hand, sounds like you've been handed prefabricated smart materials and like an AI robot assistant.
I love that.
Yeah. You still need to know how to design the house and ensure it won't collapse on anyone, but the manual labor is automated. It feels much more like being a movie director.
Oh, that's a great way to put it.
You're no longer the actor, the lighting technician, and the camera operator all rolled into one exhausted person. Instead, you're writing the script, which in this case is natural language prompts, and you're directing this incredibly capable, lightning-fast AI crew to execute your vision.
I like the director analogy a lot because it highlights exactly where the human value remains.
Right, because you still need a human.
Exactly. I mean, a bad director with a great crew still makes a terrible movie,
Oh,
right?
for sure. We've all seen those movies.
Right. So the AI handles the boilerplate generation,
Yeah.
the, you know, repetitive scaffolding of that MERN stack we just mentioned, but the human orchestrator has to understand the underlying logic.
They have to see the big picture.
Yes. You still need to ensure the database schema makes sense for the data you're actually collecting. You have to verify that the authentication flow doesn't have like massive security loopholes.
Which the AI might just gloss right over.
Exactly. Modern companies are actively seeking professionals who know how to integrate these low-code platforms and AI tools rather than people who just want to stubbornly reinvent the wheel from scratch.
Okay, so let's make this super concrete for the listener. Walk me through the mechanism of how a vibe coder actually builds something today, like, let's say, an e-commerce checkout page, compared to how it used to be done.
Okay, yeah. So like 5 years ago, an engineer would have to manually set up the database tables to store the order information.
Which is tedious.
Extremely. Then write the back-end routes to handle the payment data securely, configure the front-end interface so the user could actually type in their credit card, and then on top of all that, write custom CSS so it didn't look terrible on a mobile phone.
Right.
It was literally weeks of work for a whole team.
And today?
Today, a vibe coder prompts their AI assistant to generate the entire MernStack boilerplate for a secure checkout component.
Yeah.
And the AI spits out the code in seconds.
Seconds. That's just wild.
It really is.
Yeah.
So then the vibe coder's job is just to review that architecture, spot any logical flaws, and hook it up to an API like Stripe or PayPal to actually process the money.
And just to clarify the API part really quick, because
right.
that term gets thrown around a lot in the source text.
Yeah, it's everywhere.
Think of an API like a waiter in a restaurant. You are the customer sitting at the table, and the kitchen is the payment processor, like Stripe.
Perfect analogy.
Right. You don't go into the kitchen and cook the food yourself. You tell the waiter what you want. The waiter takes your order to the kitchen and then brings the food back to you.
Exactly.
An API is just the messenger that allows two different pieces of software to talk to each other. So the vibe coder just tells the AI to configure the waiter.
Which drastically reduces deployment time. I mean, we're talking weeks down to hours. And because speed is now the ultimate currency in business, this completely alters where these developers are going.
Where the jobs are, yeah.
Right. The curriculum notes that while traditional IT is still obviously the largest employer, the demand is spilling over everywhere.
I noticed that in the text. They mentioned a surprising variety: fintech, healthcare, e-commerce, edtech.
It's all over the map.
But let's look at why. If a hospital network suddenly needs a new patient portal to handle updated regulatory compliance, they can't wait 2 years for a traditional development cycle.
No, they'll get fined.
Exactly. They need an orchestrator who can vibe code a secure, functional application in a month using existing AI tools and high-pay compliant APIs.
It's the exact same story in fintech. Consumer demands for mobile dashboards or, you know, instant payment systems, they change so rapidly that banks have to iterate constantly.
Right.
So they are prioritizing candidates who demonstrate continuous learning and tangible working portfolios.
Right.
They want to see that you have actually integrated these complex systems in a real-world scenario.
Okay, but I have to challenge the educational implications of this, though.
Oh, let's hear it.
Because if a hiring manager at a fintech startup only cares about a working portfolio, if they only care that you can prompt an AI to build a secure dashboard quickly, doesn't that make the traditional 4-year computer science degree, essentially obsolete for this kind of work?
It creates a massive disruption in how we view qualifications. Absolutely.
It has to.
Yeah. The source addresses this dynamic by outlining what I would call a proof of work model.
Okay, what does that mean?
Well, in a purely academic setting, you spend semesters learning the theoretical underpinnings of computation, algorithmic complexity, discrete mathematics, all of that.
The heavy math stuff.
Right. And that knowledge is incredibly valuable if you're designing new AI models from scratch. But it is massive overkill for just building a business application.
Right. You don't need calculus to build a checkout page.
Exactly. Companies need scalable solutions yesterday. They frankly do not care if you spent 4 years in a lecture hall or 4 months in a specialized institute, provided your application functions, is secure, and solves their immediate pain point.
Wow. It's a brutal meritocracy, isn't it?
Very much so.
The prestigious university name on a resume might get you past an initial HR screen, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But the working AI-integrated web app you built last weekend is what actually proves you can do the job.
And because you can produce those tangible assets so quickly from your laptop, the curriculum heavily emphasizes non-traditional career paths.
Like remote work and freelancing.
Yeah. We're talking about the gig economy, fully remote work, and basically breaking out of the corporate cubicle entirely.
Okay, let's dig into the mechanics of that freelance angle, because the text gives some highly tactical advice for you listening.
It does, very specific.
It explicitly points learners toward platforms like Upwork, Fiverr, and freelancer.com. But it goes further than just saying, you know, build a profile. It details the SEO strategy needed for 2026.
Right.
How are these gig economy platforms actually functioning now? Because it's not the same as it was.
No. The mechanism of securing freelance work has shifted completely from human networking to algorithmic matching.
Algorithmic matching.
Yeah. Upwork and Fiverr, they use AI-driven hiring tools to filter through millions of freelancers. So if a client needs an automated customer service chatbot built, they don't sit there and read thousands of resumes.
Nobody has time for that.
Exactly. They type in a query, and the platform's algorithm ranks the candidates. The source advises optimizing your profiles with highly specific keywords, things like freelance developer, AI automation, and remote coding jobs.
Getting those exact matches.
Right, but the AI isn't just doing a simple keyword match anymore. It evaluates semantic context.
Yeah.
It looks for how those skills are actually demonstrated in your project descriptions and your past client reviews.
Yeah. Ah, okay. So the strategy is kind of a snowball effect.
Yeah.
You start with small, highly targeted projects that you can deliver incredibly fast using vibe coding tools.
You knock them out in a day.
Right. Then you use that speed to secure positive client reviews. Those reviews feed back into the platform's ranking algorithm, and suddenly your visibility just skyrockets. You're essentially hacking the gig economy's matchmaking system by leveraging the speed of AI development.
That is exactly it. It democratizes access to a global client base.
Mm-hmm.
You are no longer limited by your local geography or your ability to commute to a tech hub like Silicon Valley.
Here's where it gets really interesting, though. Let's take that democratization concept a step further into the startup space.
Well, the startup angle is huge.
The curriculum explicitly states that learning these skills enables you to launch your own MVP, minimum viable product, or a SaaS platform. And this is the part that I think fundamentally rewrites the rules of venture capital entirely.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, consider how the startup ecosystem operated just a decade ago.
It was completely different.
Totally. If you had an idea for a new software as a service product, the barrier to entry was this massive financial wall.
You needed money just to start.
You needed hundreds of thousands, sometimes millions, in seed funding just to hire a team of engineers to build the prototype.
Yeah.
You had to burn massive amounts of capital just to find out if the market even wanted your product in the first place.
Which locked the vast majority of people out of entrepreneurship before they could even draw up a business plan.
Precisely. Now, compare that to the vibe coding methodology. A single founder with foundational programming knowledge and a deep understanding of workflow automation can act as an entire development studio.
By themselves.
By themselves. You use AI to generate the front end. You use cloud-based platforms to host the database. And you use APIs to handle the payments and user authentication.
Like we talked about earlier.
Right. So the development cost drops to near zero, and the product launch timeline shrinks from 18 months to a few weeks.
That is wild.
You can test a business idea in the real market, gather user feedback, and iterate instantly without owing a venture capitalist a massive chunk of your company.
Okay, I am going to pump the brakes here, though, because this is where I need to heavily push back on the source material.
All right, let's hear the pushback.
The curriculum claims that a structured training program for all of this takes only 3 to 6 months. 3 to 6 months to become a full-stack developer.
That is the claim.
That sounds like the definition of false advertising to me. I mean, I can accept that AI makes coding faster, sure, but learning system design, database architecture, security protocols, and API integration in 12 weeks.
It's a lot to absorb.
It's a ton. Are these learners genuinely job ready after that, or is this just a factory pumping out people with a false sense of competence?
It is a vital distinction to make, and we really have to read the fine print of the ecosystem they're describing here.
Okay.
A 3 to 6 month curriculum is just the framework. It gives you the vocabulary, teaches you how to write the prompts, and walks you through guided, sanitized projects.
The happy path, basically.
Exactly. But you are entirely correct. That does not make someone a hardened professional ready to handle a production database crash at 2 a.m.
Right. Because the learning environment is too clean. Nothing really breaks in a tutorial.
Precisely why the source places such a massive structural emphasis on internships.
Ah, right, the internships.
They don't frame the 3 to 6 month course as the finish line at all. They specifically highlight roles like front-end developer intern, back-end developer intern, and AI ML intern as the necessary next step.
And they mention the landscape in India specifically regarding this, right?
Yes.
Pointing to government and industry initiatives there that are aggressively expanding internship access.
Because India is treating this as a massive digital upskilling imperative. They recognize that a bootcamp graduate cannot just walk into a legacy code base and understand how to navigate it on day one.
It's impossible.
It is.
Yeah.
The internship programs they highlight are designed to expose these beginners to the messy, chaotic reality of enterprise software.
Which is where the real learning happens.
Exactly. It's where they learn how to use version control systems like Git without accidentally overwriting their coworkers' code.
Oh, the horror.
We've all been there. It's where they learn agile methodology, how to participate in sprint planning, and, crucially, how to communicate technical roadblocks to non-technical managers.
Okay, so the 3 to 6 month claim is technically true for the training phase, but it's a bit of a sleight of hand.
Yeah, a little bit.
The internship is the actual crucible. It's the translation layer where the theory of directing an AI hits the reality of business constraints, tight deadlines, and changing client demands.
Well said.
Because without that real-world pressure testing, the portfolio is really just a collection of neat parlor tricks.
The internship proves you can orchestrate these tools within a team environment. As the source notes, communication and teamwork are explicitly taught as core competencies alongside the coding itself.
That makes total sense.
Because when the AI is the one writing the code, your ability to articulate the problem and collaborate on the architecture becomes your primary value proposition.
Okay, so bringing this all together for you listening, vibe coding isn't just a quirky buzz phrase to summarize the tech vibe of 2026.
No, not at all.
What we are analyzing in this curriculum from Vibe Coding Masters is the blueprint of a structural collapse in traditional tech gatekeeping.
That's a great way to summarize it.
By combining logical system design with powerful AI and workflow automation tools, you bypass the old barriers. Whether you are aiming to hack the algorithm on Upwork to build a location-independent freelance career, or you want to bypass venture capital entirely to launch an MVP for your startup, the mechanism to do it has never been more accessible.
It's unprecedented.
You don't need to spend years learning the ancient Greek of manual syntax. You just need to learn how to be the director of the digital film.
But stepping back to look at the broader implications, this raises an important question, and I want to leave you with a thought regarding this new baseline.
Oh, I like where this is going.
If the tools have become so incredibly accessible that anyone can learn to orchestrate a complex application in a matter of months, the purely technical skills will rapidly commoditize.
That's inevitable.
Right. When every candidate applying for a job has an AI that writes perfect syntax, the ability to code is no longer a competitive advantage.
Right.
It begs the question, as the technical barrier to entry drops all the way to zero, won't raw human creativity, deep empathy for the end user's experience, and the strategic foresight to ask the right questions become the only true differentiators left in the job market?
Man, that is a powerful thought, because when the robotic assistants can lay the bricks perfectly every single time, nobody cares about the bricklayer anymore.
No, they don't.
The only thing that matters is who is dreaming up the blueprints. We're moving from an era of translators to an era of architects.
Exactly.
Definitely something to chew on as you consider where to invest your time and energy next. Catch you on the next deep dive.